Praise the Lord. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Living Savior Church. Praise the Lord. What a beautiful, glorious day out there today. You know, this day that you're experiencing out there is an overrun of Dave's prayer yesterday. You know, we went down to Brenham yesterday, and we flew down there, and all of us in our own plane, and we flew down to Brenham, and on the way down there, it was really nice weather until we got just a few miles, probably 20 or 30 miles this side of Brenham. It's about 200 miles down there, down close to Houston. And just before we got there, you know, the clouds started getting heavy and thicker, and it started raining and everything. And so we went through some pretty good little showers, and then we landed down there at Brenham, a nice airport. And so Dave said, "Lord, when we go home tonight," he figured it's going to be after dark because we're going to start teaching at 1, and we know we're going to do a healing school 1 to 5, and then we didn't know it was going to have, I don't know, 200 or 300 people. And so, you know, we were going to pray for people, and I think we prayed for everybody there at least once, some of them twice. You know, and so we were there till 10 o'clock. We finally got out of the church about 10 or 10:30, and then we went and ate, and then we went out to the airport about midnight and got in the airplane, and Dave said, "I sure would like to have a," he had asked earlier, "Lord, I'd like to have a beautiful, clear night. You said in John 15:7, if my your words abide in me and I abide in you, I could ask what I will and you'll do it for me." And he's really getting revelation on that. We went out last night at midnight and fired the airplane up, and I looked up and I couldn't see a cloud nowhere. We took off and got up, and it was absolutely awesome. We got about 6,500 feet high, and you could see Dallas. I mean, we flew by, and there's Waco off over there to the side. There were cities everywhere. You could see, I looked up at the GPS, and it said it's 118 miles yet to Northwest Airport where we were coming to, and you could see Dallas, Fort Worth, Waco, everything. Boy, what a beautiful night last night. It was awesome. And so we're flying along up at 6,500 feet, you know, just like you're sitting here in this room, just beautiful and smooth, and all the kids went to sleep. All the kids, even my kid, Cheryl. She leans back in her chair, and she goes to sleep. John lays down on top of her and goes to sleep. All the kids are sleeping. Yesha's the only one awake. And so she kind of comes up behind me and Dave there with a headset on. And she's looking. Dave's telling her, "Honey, isn't this beautiful? Look at this." And, you know, she says, "You know, a girl could get spoiled to this kind of travel." Yeah, you really could. I mean, it was beautiful up there. Man, was it a beautiful trip. I'm telling you, we had a great healing school yesterday. A lot of people prayed for a lot of people. And we had a Baptist couple that came from out close to Hobbs, New Mexico, to the healing school. I said, "Good grief, why did y'all come so far?" He said, "I'm a Southern Baptist." And he said, "A man walked in," he said, "I own a furniture store. And a man walked into my store, I think it was yesterday or day before yesterday, and said, 'The Lord told me your daughter can be healed.'" And so he said the man told him to come to this healing school, to our healing school. And so he said their daughter, which was, I don't know how old she was, 15, very critical problem she had, and it had happened through a vaccination. Almost ruined her life. She almost died. But whenever they suggest a little 15-year-old girl take a precautionary medicine, and the parents agreed, and it almost cost her her life, and it was going to afflict her and mess her up the rest of her life, because the doctors are concerned, there ain't no cure for this girl now. No cure, because she took a vaccine, a precautionary vaccine. There wasn't nothing wrong with her. You know, but I do know that if we don't put God first, and that's why I've started this teaching on the series of faith. I mean, why we don't get our prayers answered. I don't know how many Sundays this is going to take to do this. Last week, I only talked about one aspect of it. Anybody remember what I talked about last week? Unbelief. Unbelief. I mean, that is running rampant in the church today, just like it was when Jesus was here. We saw many scriptures last week where Jesus told them they could do awesome things, but they didn't believe him. They said, "Lord, Why can we not do these things? He said, because of your unbelief. Well, today we're going to talk about another part of that. But before we do that, does anybody have a testimony? You will open the floor for a moment for a testimony if you have one. Jack, you got one?
Well, I had my car worked on. The man did extensive job, and let's just say he wasn't Thurman. I found all kinds of things, from spark plugs loose to the air conditioner unplugged, and I'd taken all the dash apart looking at the switch to figure out why I wouldn't get electricity. But I had an exhaust leak, and so I took it to my son, and generally, when I take something simple to my son, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, free work works that way. Well, anyway, he noticed a leak going into the radiator where the oil from the transmission goes in there. And the problem is it's a tube and it's a little nut that goes on there, and it was cranked down real tight and it was still leaking. So he said, well, maybe it's the O-ring. It wasn't the O-ring. He said, well, I can see it's cross-threaded.
Oh.
Which, you don't just replace the nut. You got to take the radiator out and this tube out, and it's a big deal. So I was sitting in the car. He was working on it. It's cold. And so I just prayed. And I've been working on Matthew 21:22. If you have faith, here's the key, and doubt not.
Amen. No unbelief.
That's right. All that you ask whatsoever in prayer, believing, you shall have. So I said that, and guess what happened? Right away, it was fixed.
Amen.
But the key for me, the glory, the shouting ground for me, is when my son came back around and we opened the door and we're talking, I said, well, you know why you want that got fixed, don't you? He said, yeah, I know you prayed.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, when you pray in faith, nothing's impossible. You got to believe God. Praise the Lord.
I hope I can say this without crying. My friend Jerry, that lives in Washington State, had leukemia. And we came on November the 8th to Healing School. And when she went back the other day for tests, her blood was perfect. And I just
thank you, Lord.
God. He is so good and so merciful to us.
Praise the Lord. Isn't God good, honey? He's good. Praise the Lord. We love it. We love serving a God that answers prayer. Like Jack said, pray in faith, and the King shows up. Praise the Lord. Any others? Glory to God. That's good. Okay, we got one over here. Praise the Lord.
I just want to praise the Lord for His goodness. Maybe a couple of you know me. I've been out of the state for 2 years. I'm just here visiting. But the Lord blessed me. He'd given me the faith, the belief for a husband. And He'd given me a husband. And I have to say, we've been married just a little over 2 years now, and I'm even more blessed today by the man He's given me than I was when we were first married.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And I know somebody, there were people that heard my testimony, and the Lord gave them faith to begin to believe. And I want to say, because I know some of those people, and some of them have gotten married, but they may be struggling in their marriage. And for those that are struggling in any relationship, whether it's your marriage, whether it's with a child, whether it's with a boss, the problems are not the other person. It's what's in our heart that needs to change. If you don't have peace, it's not the other person's. It's things in your own heart that needs to get changed and get right before God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glad you're blessed, young lady. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, God's judging the country, you know. I mean, He's judging us. And the thing about it is, I mean, He promises us all over the Scripture. You know, it's everywhere, but it's like we don't read it and believe it. And so when you begin to read it and believe it and obey God, you'll find out He's a great God. I mean, you hear about all these testimonies of all these people, you know, that have given these testimonies today. And of course, all of you know of my testimony, some of them, you know, but every one of you in here that has been here for a while, that has walked in obedience to God's word, you have started seeing the King answer your prayer. I mean, he's not a respecter of persons, is he? I mean, God honors faith after obedience. And when we walk in obedience to his word, he, just like he said, he'll answer our prayer. And so just like Dave said yesterday, when we got down there, of course, landed in the rain, you know, and everything, and clouds and everything. He said, you know, the Lord said in John 15:7, he said, you know, his word remain in me. He said, if, and he said, I'm in the word. The word's in me. And so he said, I could ask anything. He said, now I think I'm free of sin. I've confessed everything. I ain't doing nothing I know of. But he said, he told me that if I would just stay in his word, I could ask him. So he said, I'm asking the Father in the name of Jesus that when we go home tonight, we will have a beautiful, clear night. Well, let me tell you, we had a beautiful, clear night. There wasn't a cloud in the sky nowhere. It was beautiful, you know. So I'm telling you that if we will obey God, those are the kind of things we can do. In fact, this last year, Cheryl and I, we were going to fly down to Temple. My niece was graduating from college down there. And so we were going to fly down there, and we left here. It was a beautiful day, just like it is here, you know. We got about to Waco, and I happened to look at my computer, and the temple where I was going was IFR. I thought, oh, good grief, Lord. I don't want to have to file an IFR flight plan now. I mean, I'm only, at the speed I'm flying, I'm only 15 minutes away. And I said, the time I get a flight plan filed, I'm going to be there. Either that or I'm going to have to fly around out here in a holding pattern somewhere until I said, I don't want to do that. I said, Lord. And I quoted the word just like Dave did. I said, Father, I know you said I can ask anything, so I'm going to start a descent right now, 500 foot a minute, straight into that airport. And I said, I want you to open that thing up. I want it to be clear when I get there in about 15 minutes. I said, Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name. I set the autopilot on about a 300 or 400 foot a minute rate of descent. I started down and I landed at Temple. There wasn't a cloud nowhere. It was beautiful and clear, and I pulled over there to the terminal. The guy said, boy, he said, did you get here just right? He said, 15 minutes ago, it was an IFR here. I said, I know. I saw it on a computer screen, but I said, I prayed, so God lifted the fog. he said, you think you did that? I said, no, I don't think I did that. I know I did that. In the name of Jesus, I did that. Now, see, what did the King say we could ask for? Now, see, now that's where we as a church have got to get. The people have got to see the church of the living God walking in faith so they'll know our God's real. I mean, if your God ain't never done nothing for you, you ain't never had a testimony, you know, so, oh, is your God real? No. No, he's not real. You don't really know him. There's something wrong. See, I was a Christian until I was way on up there. Many years I've been in church. Had I ever seen God do a miracle? Absolutely. Didn't even know it was possible. Had I ever seen him answer a prayer? Absolutely not. I didn't pray much, you know, because I didn't know he would do anything. So why waste my time praying? But then when I began to read the book, I began to think, whoa. I mean, if this book's true, Ernest, I'm in trouble. And it is true. I'm in trouble, but if I will repent of my sins and change, there's some wonderful things God will do for me. And so I repented of my sins, made God a promise, Lord, I will walk holy and obedient to your word. And boy, did he start answering my prayer. And so right now, to those of us that are in the church, that are walking in obedience to his word, he is hearing your prayer. He's answering your prayer. I love it when a little lady comes up here and tells me that a friend, you know, came up here to a healing school a few months ago and is now total, blood's totally perfect because we prayed for her. She repented of her sin. Don't you love to see God do those kind of things? Hey, you know, I mean, just God said in his word, husbands, I think about the testimony of this young lady over here. It says, God says in his word, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. He said, now, if you don't, I won't answer your prayer. Well, that's another reason a lot of men never get a prayer answered because they're, I mean, it's just like one day a young couple come up and he had a very serious problem with a brain tumor. And they brought him. And I said, well, there's a reason for this. I said, how long y'all been married? And he told me. And I said, well, how's your love walk with your wife? He said, well, it's okay. And I looked at her and I said, how's your love walk with him? And she started crying. That told me something wasn't right. I said, when I asked her how's her love walk with her husband, she should have beamed and said, it's wonderful. But she didn't. She broke into tears. I said, you got a problem. I was here. Yeah, he said, you know, we do have a problem. And I said, well, okay. I said, you wouldn't have to have some kind of unforgiveness towards your wife, would you? He said, yes, I do. And he said, I said, well, you got to forgive her. He said, no, I'm not going to forgive her. I said, well, they ain't going to do no good. I can't pray for you. I said, God clearly said in his word that, you know, that if you don't forgive everybody from your heart, he will not forgive you. He said, well, I ain't going to forgive her. I said, well, let me tell you, son, that's why you got the brain tumors. Because of your unforgiveness. I said, God has sent a tormenting spirit to you to torment you. Now he sent you here for me to tell you the truth, and I'm telling you the truth, and you're not believing it. And I said, do you want to get well? He said, well, that's what I came here for. I said, well, then you got to forgive her. He said, no. I said, okay, I'm sorry. I can't help you. I ain't going to pray for you. I ain't going to waste my time. I said, in fact, I'm going to tell you what, that brain tumor, if you don't forgive that little woman right there, it's your wife, I'm going to tell you when you die, you're going to bust hell wide open. Because I said, Jesus said clearly in his word, if you don't forgive from your heart, neither will I forgive you. And I said, if you don't show up in heaven totally forgiven by God, I'm going to bet you for everything I have, he's not going to let you in his heaven. And I said, so there's only one other place to go, and that's hell. I said, is what she did you worth spending eternity in hell for? He said, I ain't forgiving her. I don't believe that. I'm washed in the blood. I'm going to heaven. I said, okay. I never seen him again. Never seen him again. He was totally resistant to the written word and the spoken word of the living God. I can't help people like that. You know, I can't help them. If they're not willing to obey God and do what he says, I'm not the healer. All I get to do is pray for you, tell you what God says. But see, when people do what I tell them from the Word, like this lady's friend, she got healed. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Don't we love it when people get healed? Amen. We love it when people get healed. But see, the thing about what I'm trying to teach you today is to walk holy before God and do what He says so you don't ever have to go there and get sick. It's better to walk in divine health, isn't it? And that's where I want to walk. Joseph, don't you like walking in divine health? Amen. Well, me too. You know, but it comes with a cost, doesn't it? It's not. It's something that God gives you if you're willing to obey Him. So now then, with all these awesome statements that's in God's Word, I want to go to a few of these today. I want to start out with this wonderful, awesome John chapter 14, starting with verse 12. And I want to show you what our King told us while he was here on the earth. Now, we're going to go probably from John 14, we'll hit verse 12 through 15, and then we'll get verse 23 and 24, and then through 25 and 30. But to start out with, John 14, 12 through 15, and I want you to see this awesome promise in John 14, 12, 13, 14, and 15 that God said. He says, believe me. Or I'll actually start with 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. Now, are we all believers in Jesus in here today?
Amen.
Okay. If we're believers in Jesus, he's talking to us. Truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, the average Christian I come in contact with, if I walk up to him and say, do you know that you could lay hands on the sick and they get well? And they look at me and say, no, I couldn't do that. No, I can't do that. Well, how about teaching a class or something for a group of Christians? Could you hold a little class on Wednesday night or something? No, I couldn't do that. Well, do you believe you can raise the dead? Oh, no, absolutely not. What's wrong with us? Unbelief.
Amen.
You know, we don't believe these words. You know, I mean, you walk into a hospital and somebody's dying and you could intercede for that person, and do you believe you can do that? The average Christian will tell me no. You know why? Because we don't believe. You know, we're eat up with unbelief. I mean, when somebody gets sick, why do we go to a hospital, why do most people, even their friends, some of them won't even go visit them? In fact, there was a man over here in Justin several years ago. He was a good friend of mine. He was a little older than me. But I heard he was sick. Now, see, all that group, they consider themselves to be older senior citizens. Well, I'm about their age, but I don't consider myself to be a senior yet. You know, I'm still a junior, see. So anyway, but I heard they were down at the hospital in Fort Worth with him, and that he was in hospital. He'd already been there 2 or 3 days. And so when I heard about it, I thought, good grief. I mean, he's a good friend of mine. I'll run down there and see him. So I went down to the hospital, and there was people there. I mean, some of them had been seminary professors, you know, Southern Baptist Church now. You know, some of them had been seminary professors and teachers in the Word. They'd all retired. They'd been Sunday school teachers or elders or deacons or whatever. Even retired pastors. There's half a dozen of them or so down there. And here's my friend laying in the bed. I just walked in. I walked up to him and I looked him right in the eye. I shook everybody's hands. I walked by. Praise God. I said, how's he doing? They're all standing around drinking coffee, talking. I said, what did the doctor say about him? They said, well, you know, he's going to be here for another week or two at least. I said, oh, okay. I walked over and laid my hand on him, patted him on the shoulder. I said, brother, you want to get well? He said, well, of course I do. I said, then repent of your sins. Tell God you're sorry for all these stupid things you've done. Well, okay, God, I'm sorry. If I've done something wrong, I apologize, Lord. I'm sorry. I said, okay. I reached and laid my hands on him. I said, you devil of hell, come out of him in the name of Jesus. I said, now it's written in Mark 16:18. I said, Lord, heal him. Thank you. And I walked out. And they released him that afternoon, and he went home. Now, why all the rest of them people down there were all Baptists just like I was? Okay, they were Baptists. Okay, I'm sorry, Lord, that I put that last statement on there. You're right, they wasn't like me. But the thing about it, do all of us have that power within us? Yes, we do. What did Jesus just say we could do? He didn't just say we could do the same things he did. He said we could do greater things. Did he not say that? Is that what that says? In greater works than these that I do shall you do, because I go unto my Father. I mean, it's like we don't believe this verse at all. Okay, let's go to the next couple of verses. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. I mean, it's written. What do you do with that? Oh, you do like Dave did. Father, I'm in your Word. He's hiding the Word. Lord, I need a beautiful night to fly home with my wife tonight. Clear blue sky. Lord, thank you. It's going to happen. So he told me all day, every time he said, Pastor, we're going to have a great, beautiful, clear night to go home because I'm in the Word. And God said to me, if I'm in the Word and His Word's in me, I can ask what I will and He'll do it for me. Is that faith talking? I'm telling you, that's faith talking. And man, did we have a beautiful trip last night. Clear. We landed out here at 1 o'clock this morning. That took us just about an hour. You know, I mean, just beautiful and smooth, but we just enjoyed looking at all the lights. What a night. You know, boy, you think about how awesome God is, you know, and how He has blessed this country. You know, wow, what a privilege. Oh, yeah. But praise God. I mean, we can do anything with this verse. Cheryl used these two verses. I mean, these were her two favorite verses when her dad was down there. There was a half, four or five doctors, six doctors, whatever, told her several times that her daddy was going to die today. You know, I mean, and of course, that was before she was my wife, and so she was a member of this church, and so she called me four or five times in that few weeks, and of course, I think the third or fourth time when she called, she said, I got to talk to you, and I said, what's wrong, Cheryl? And she said, well, five doctors just told me my daddy's going to die today. I said, well, you want him to die today or not? No, I don't want him to die. That's why I called you. I said, okay, so we'll take John 14:13-14. We'll ask the Father in the name of Jesus to heal your daddy and raise him up, knock the socks off the doctors, you know, and then after he does that, give him another year or two or whatever he wants to, and then when he gets through with him, just take him home suddenly with no more hospital stay. I said, can you agree with that? She said, I can. I said, okay, take your Bible, go in there and tell him. And so she took her Bible, laid it in there on her daddy and on the bed or whatever right there and quoted those scriptures. And the doctor said, I'm sorry, he's going to die today. She said, I'm sorry, I don't believe what you say. I'm going to believe what the Word says. And her daddy fully recovered and went back home, and we even went back to work. Wow. Yeah, driving a car and everything. And he was 85 then, you know. But praise God. So what can we do against all odds? Hey, it depends on what you believe. But this God's not real, you know. I mean, you know, maybe if it's His will, you know. Well, He told you what His will was. You know, I mean, you know what His will was. He told you you could ask for anything if you're walking in obedience to His word. Did He not? Okay, verse 15. Let's see what verse 15 says. Now, this is the real kicker right here. Verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Let me put that in a term we can all understand. If you love me, you will obey me. Uh-oh. Obey? Oh, I have to do everything you say, God? That means I got to go through life with no more grumbling and complaining. I got to walk in love. I got to love my neighbor as myself. I have to pray for my enemy. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, I'm going to pray for our enemies. Now, the king said we could ask anything and he'd move on these people's hearts, right? Okay, so we're going to believe he's going to do something great, because boy, do we need it now, huh? We need it. Everything they do is something. But God tells us if we love him, we will obey him. Then he says if we love him and obey him, then he will pray the Father and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide in you forever. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. Now then, let's go to verse 23 and 24. And let's see what he says here. In verse 23 and 24, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man loves me, he will obey me, or keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode, or our dwelling place with him. Now, if you obey him, God's going to come and talk to you. He's going to live in you and dwell in you, the Father and Jesus both. Now then, what kind of a place do you think this would be if the Father and Jesus both was dwelling in us all the time? What could we get done?
Anything.
That's exactly right. Anything, just like he said, anything you ask me will happen. You know, I mean, I'm just going to tell you a little deal. The other day, Cheryl asked me, she says, honey, when you move out of your office up there into your new office, which I'm hoping that in the next few weeks we get that where I can move in there. And she said, when you move in there, I want your office so me and the girls can work and do things in there. So she said, I need to, the office supply has got these big, nice Hewlett-Packard printers on sale for 25% off. They're about $500. And she said, you know, we're going to need another one of those. And I said, okay, but I said, you know, we're not ready for it yet. I don't have any place to hook it up, no place to store it. Really, I don't need it yet. I said, why don't we wait till we get the office ready? Well, okay, no problem. But she said, Lord, I need a nice printer. And when you get ready, Lord, I ask you to provide us with a great printer for my office. Well, lo and behold, God heard that. And the other night, Scott and Dave, they were up in the kitchen and they were eating or something. And I believe Scott told Dave, won't you go on the internet? Let's see if there's any of these real good printers for sale. So Dave looked it up and there was some guy had 8 of them. Not the ones we wanted that cost $500, but the ones that were twice that good that cost $1,000. And so they called and they went over there and the guy had these and he wanted to almost give them away. And so they got 8 of them, and Scott and his friend overhauled 4 of them and put new toners and gave them to the ministry. Yay. Now, we got 4 high-dollar, fast, unbelievable, awesome printers, and they brought them home, networked them, hooked them, all 4 of them's already working. All over the place. Man, you can go to any computer anywhere you want to. You sell, you want something printed out, bam, you better be back there to get it because it's throwing out pieces. Now see, When you pray, just kind of gently, Lord, I need a printer. He said, oh, my dear, I heard that. I heard you need a printer. I'm going to see that you get one far better because you're obeying me.
Amen.
Is that what the king said?
Yes,
ask and you shall receive. You know, it's amazing what God does for us when we obey Him. But He made us all these promises. He says, Jesus answered, if a man, isn't that a big word, if? A lot of people in church say they love God, but they don't. Because God said, if you love me, you will obey me. So you'll keep my commandments. You'll study my word. You'll go to church. You'll do everything I told you to do. You'll walk in love. He said, now if you don't do what I say, He said, you're a liar. And I don't know you. Now if God calls you a liar, you're in trouble. You know that? I don't want to be called a liar. Do you, Ernest? No. Jesus answered. Now you can't get no higher authority than this. This is the king, folks.
Amen.
This is not Thurman. This is not something Thurman said. I didn't write this book. The king said, if a man loves me, he will keep my commandments or my words. And after he does that, my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode or dwelling place with him. And he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you heard is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. So in other words, he ain't coming. If you don't obey him, you don't love him, you don't keep his commandments, he ain't coming. You ain't going to know him. You ain't never going to hear his voice. He ain't going to dwell with you. He's not going to make his abode with you. All right, let's go to verse 25 through 30 now. Let's see what else he says here. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Now, how would you like to have the Holy Ghost? How would you like for God to be living in you to teach you his word when you read and study his word? Well, that's the only way you can learn it. You can read it all of your life and never understand it until he reveals it to you. Now, when the Holy Ghost... Now, how do you get the Holy Ghost? By obeying God. Walking holy, doing what he said. Whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and he will bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now then, I've been to a lot of places. I've seen a lot of people in a lot of different denominations. And I've seen a lot of people that say they have certain gifts. Prophetic gifts, gifts of speaking in tongues, gifts of healing, all kinds of things. I've seen people that say, I have these gifts. Now, the first thing I'm leery of when a man walks in and says, I'm a prophet. I have a problem with him already. You know, if he walks in and says, I'm a faith healer, I got a problem with him right there. If he says, I got one of the best gifts there is, I speak in tongues. Okay, I mean, you don't have to tell me all these things. Let me see your fruit. I don't want you to come in and say, I speak in tongues. Or I don't want you to come up here in this church and kneel down and pray for 30 minutes speaking in tongues and you go out that door and you don't never do nothing loving for your neighbor. I'm going to tell you that gift you had not from God. You know, I don't care what you say. Now then, if you can speak in tongues, you can heal the sick, you can prophesy, you can do everything you said, it won't take long to find out if you're real. It won't take long. Are you loving your neighbor as yourself? If you are, then those gifts are probably real. But I've almost completely lost faith in prophets. I've had prophets in this church. I've had people tell me they're prophets, and almost none of the things they told me ever come to pass. Now then, when you find one, obviously, these two that were on TBN the other day, that back in October, that said that if God told them that if Australia, huh? CBN? Okay, CBN. I said TBN. Okay, on CBN. Okay, I guess that's Christian Broadcast Network. Yeah, CBN. These two guys that were there, if they made that statement that if Australia makes abortion legal, that God will burn up the country. Now, if they said that in October, and obviously it's recorded, that's just like the prophet. There was a prophet, and this prophet made a statement, and he was in a meeting, and this guy was on TBN, not CBN, but TBN, and this guy was a prophet, and there was two pastors on there with him, and that night when they were talking, and they said, you know, we're fixing to have the largest homosexual meeting in New Orleans we've ever had, the Day of Decadence, and said it's going to happen in about 2 weeks, and said we went to the city managers and wanted permission to build a new church in New Orleans, and they denied it. But he said they okayed this homosexual deal. There was a man sitting there all of a sudden, his eyes caged, and he just said, throwed his finger up, and the camera went right on him. He said, thus saith the Lord, New Orleans will be wiped out. There will be a huge storm. There'll be water. There'll be flood. There'll be bodies stinking in the water. And he prophesied everything he said. And he said it's going to happen before the Decadence Day. And just a few days before it, Katrina hit. And it did everything he said. I thought, wow. When that guy talks, you better be careful. Obviously, that man heard from God. And I was awestruck here a while back when Rosemary had this dream or vision about this place. She was standing here somewhere in this place, and she saw a beautiful rainbow from one side over here come over the Minister Center right over here. And she said, God, what is this? He said, this little piece of property is dedicated as holy ground to me, and there would be no damage to this piece of property. Hey. We're going to be okay.
Amen.
You know, God is not going to wipe us out because we're serving Him here in this place. We're teaching holiness and we're trying our best, everybody here, to walk in obedience to His Word. So He showed Rosemary in a vision or a dream or whatever it was that this place is going to be holy ground. Now then, after hearing that the other day, Cheryl said, well, you told the whole church that, said if everything starts going to hell in a handbasket, guess where they're all going to come? Hey, we got 100 acres out here. We can hold a lot of people. You know? And what do you think God would want us to do? He would want us to take in anybody that wants to be here, because you know what? He can fire those arrows, and you can take people that would come in here and they say, okay, I want the safety, but I don't want to serve God. And we can teach them the Word, and do you know? God can say, okay, I've given them days and weeks now to repent, and they ain't changing, so bam, they just fall dead. You know? They just fall dead. I mean, has He done that to Scripture before? Yeah. Did He do that when Ananias and Sapphira lied to Him with that money? He killed both of them, the man and the woman, and they took them out and buried them. You know, they didn't even do an autopsy on them to see what killed them. They didn't even call a doctor. Peter said, you three guys go out and dig a hole and bury him. And 3 hours later, when his wife comes in, he asks the question, did you and Ananias give this much money to the church? Yeah, that's a price. He said, you lied too. Bam, you're going to die. Bam. And said, a great fear fell upon the church. And that would get your attention, wouldn't it? And those three guys walked in the back door and said, oh, guys, here's your another one. Take this one out, dig a hole and bury her too. And so they did. You know, I mean, God, I think He's just about through playing games. You know, He is a merciful, mighty God. If the state of California will repent, He would forgive them.
Amen.
And He would bring that nation back up. If Australia, the country of Australia, will repent and turn from their wicked ways, God would forgive them. But they better walk holy.
Right.
I mean, He ain't going to just take this lightly. You know, and He's showing us what He means. In verse 27 and 28. Peace I leave with you. You know, I live in such peace. You know, I mean, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, but give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. If we're walking in obedience to God's Word, do we have any reason to be afraid of anything? No. He told us right here, you don't have to be afraid. If you have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you, if you love me, you would rejoice. Because I said, I go unto my Father, for my Father is greater than I. Hey, I'm rejoicing the King went away, aren't you? I'm rejoicing that He's coming again. And I don't think it's going to be long. He says, you have heard how I said unto you, I go away and I come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice. Because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Verse 29 and 30. And now I have told you, before it comes to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you. Now, some of you would have to say, he ain't never talked to me. Now, when I was 35 years old, if you'd asked me if God ever talked to me, I'd have said, no, I ain't never heard that voice. But from 35 till today, I've heard that voice many, many times. Now, I must have done something that pleased him, because before that, he didn't come to me and talk to me, but after that, he did. He showed me so many dreams and visions and spoke to me audibly so many times, it's absolutely awesome. But he says that hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world comes, but he has nothing in me. Now that should be the goal of every church member.
Amen.
That when Satan comes to you, you could look over at him and say, oh, it's just you. And turn over and go back to sleep. Now, if you're in fear, that means he has legal claim to you. You don't know who you are as a Christian. You really don't know. But the day's coming that God is a God of faith. Just like the three Hebrew children, when they said, if you don't bow down and worship our God, we're going to throw you in that furnace. They said, okay, go ahead. But the God that we serve, he is well able and he will deliver us through that furnace. You hear any faith in that statement?
Amen.
And who showed up for him?
God.
The Lord. Yes, he did. And he led them through there.
Yes,
you know, and they went through the fiery furnace. Now, then they came out of that fiery furnace, and then King Nebuchadnezzar made this kind of a statement. He said, if you guys don't bow down and worship my idol, I'm going to throw you in. I'm going to kill you. Well, whenever they didn't do it, and he throwed them in, and they come out alive, he said, now that we know that the God of this boys is the real God, and now then, if you don't bow down and worship their God, I'm going to cut your head off. Because you and I have been complacent, we've been passive, we've not done anything, we don't even go to church on a regular basis, we don't talk to nobody at work, pray at work. Oh no, they told me I can't pray at work. Let me tell you, that's a lie. I prayed. Yeah, I got fired for doing all that. That's okay. 29 years with a company, and finally the last one that they sold out to after 7 years of walking in the gifts of the Spirit. And of course, awesome. The one that they come and told me that if I didn't stop praying over people, they were going to terminate me. And I said, well, go ahead and fire me anytime you want to, because I am not going to stop praying over people. And then when that little Edelina, that little woman, that Spanish woman that fell in that oven, that got her arm burned all. I mean, she was screaming all the skin. Well, she'd fell in a great big oven. They'd laid a big old door down at 200 or 300 degrees in that thing cooking food. And it was about this high off the floor. And she reached in to get a sheet pan and slipped, and her arm laid down on that door and burned all the skin off of that arm. She was screaming to high heaven. I was plumb up the other end of the building when I heard her screaming. I go running down there. Pray over that woman, quote the word of God over her, and then guarantee that my King, Jesus,
Amen.
Will do a supernatural healing on her. He took away her pain just like that. And by the next morning, that woman's arm was completely healed without a scar. Now, let me tell you. See, when you step off into that world of faith, when you quote the word of God, you're walking obedient to the word, and then you pray over a woman and say, woman, I guarantee my Jesus is going to do this for you. Somebody said, boy, you're an idiot. No, I was an idiot right there for a few minutes, but the next morning I wasn't an idiot. I'm telling you, they was all standing in awe of what God did. See, hey. Now, is these miracles and healings and things available only to one isolated man? No. All you got to do is obey and walk in obedience to God and believe these wonderful promises. Well, the time is here, and it has been here for a long time. It's time we walk in obedience to His Word. And all of us start seeing these kind of things. When the world starts seeing all of us do those kind of things, you know what they're going to say? Wow, I need your God. You know, that's what's going to bring them to Him, is us walking in these gifts of these spirits really happening. So it says, the prince of this world, he has nothing in me. Now, just think. What if you're walking in unforgiveness? Oh, he has something in you, all right. What if you're walking in unbelief? Oh, he has something in you. What if you're just walking in any kind of sin? Oh, he has something in you. See? And so the scripture says in Timothy that when you don't obey God and you don't walk in total obedience to his word, the devil takes you captive at his will. Isn't that awesome? So when he gets ready, he just walks by and says, oh, there's Ernest today. He's not loving his wife this week like he should. I'm just going to sock him. I'm going to get him. And God says, okay. Isn't that awful? Hey, but I don't want that. We don't want to be socked by that beast, do we, Ernest? Now, we've learned the truth now. I mean, we're going to love these girls. I don't know what I did for my wife, but you know when she said something up there a while ago, how I was so sweet, and I thought, boy, I must have really done something that made her happy this week. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, you need to do something nice for your wife, right?
Yes, sir.
If you haven't, your wife needs to talk wonderful about you too. Okay, now let's go to Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 in the NLT. And I want to see these two verses, Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Now, we saw in John 14 all these wonderful things Jesus told us we could do. Now, Jesus said that. Thurman Scribner didn't say that, did he? This is God that said we could do these things. And we just don't believe. But now let's go to Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, and let's see what he said he's done for us. And yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down, and we thought his troubles were a punishment from God for his own sins. But he was wounded for and crushed for our sins, you and me. He was beaten that we might have peace. He was whipped, and we were healed.
Amen.
Oh, man. Is that an awesome promise? So what did he do to your sin? He took them. What did he do with your sickness? He took it. So you notice the order. He took your sin, and then he took your sickness. So what do? Come right back in there and sin again, so the sickness comes right back upon us. Isn't that something? How we can be so dense? He takes away our sin and then heals us. And all through the scripture, when you read this, you'll find out the first thing you have to do is get rid of sin, and then he heals you. It's just over and over and over in the Word. But what do? We come right back in, step right back over here and sin. And all of a sudden, our sickness comes right back on us. And, well, it wasn't His will to heal me. No, it was our stupidity.
Amen.
It was not God's will. It was our lack of knowledge of the Word. We don't understand these things, so we don't walk in faith. It says there, then let's go to Matthew 8, 16 and 17, and let's see what the prophet or what a disciple or apostle, Matthew, had to say about this scripture when we come to the New Testament. In Matthew 8, 16 and 17, it says, that evening many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. All the spirits fled when he commanded them to leave, and he healed all the sick. Isn't that amazing? He healed how many?
All.
Like I say, I don't know what it is that took me so long to understand what he meant when he said, all. I don't see how I could have been so dense so many years. Verse 17, this fulfilled the word of the Lord through Isaiah. That's what we just read a while ago. Who said, he took our sickness and he removed our disease. Now, if he took my sickness and removed my disease, then why in the world do I go along with it all the time? Why do I go back over there and say, Lord, I see you put that sickness on you, but Lord, I'm going to take it away right here and I'm going to put it back on me, put it on my shoulder. Here I go, Lord. I guess I just got to be sick, Lord. Or you wake up one morning and the devil's there trying to put a sickness on you. Or you go to church, you know, and you walk into some church, you know, and you walk up to a brother or sister. You walk and say, hey, sister, how are you doing today? Praise God, how are you doing? And you haven't seen them, but that's not what you normally hear. See, you can tell she works at the ministry center. But here's what we say. Oh, I'm so old. Or I got the runny nose, Thurman. I've been coughing and sneezing all day. Don't touch my hand. You'll catch it. I mean, that's what we say in church. I have seen it over and over and over. You know? I see that means we don't know the Word. If the devil comes upon you and tries to put something on you, then you need to, the first thing you need to say is, Lord, what did I do wrong? If bad things are beginning to happen to me, God, I know I'm not pleasing you. So what did I do wrong? And this is probably what God would say to you when he talks to you. Get you a long notepad and I'll start. Is that right, Jack? Your sins, your list of sins are many. But that's okay if you'll repent. I'll forgive how many of them?
All of them.
All of them. See, there's that all word again. I'll forgive all of them. And then he says, and then I will heal all of your diseases. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
But so if he took my sickness and removed my disease, I'm going to let him keep them. I don't want them. I want to walk holy and obedient to his word so that devil will have nothing in me. Is that what you want, Jack? Yeah, because when that devil has nothing in you, I can just see him now coming up and says, let me look at this boy. Where can I find a sin in him? They got to be one. No, I don't see one. Okay, well, I'll go back here at this guy. Let me try another one. Oh, don't want to get you either, huh? But see, that's what's going on. That devil, he knows who has sin in her life and who doesn't. I mean, that's just like, I've told this story a few times, but like that little 13-year-old girl that this several men and women were trying to, they were casting demons. It was only one couple, one man and one woman knew what they were doing. And the rest of them, this, they'd never been through a deliverance. But this little 13-year-old girl, they'd been at this nearly all day. And they was getting her set free little by little. And all of a sudden, this man that had been doing it all day, he's getting tired. So he said, I got to take a little break for a minute. And one of the other pastors that was there looked over to the little girl and said, I'll take it. He said, I can do what you've been doing. In the name of Jesus, I command that foul spirit in you to come out. And the little girl just turned and looked at him and says, you're sleeping with your church secretary. I don't have to obey you. Now you think, that man never said another word the rest of the day. Now you think you get by with anything? The devil knows what you're doing. God knows what you're doing. And he knows whether you're, he knows your heart. He knows you're walking in obedience to his word. So if you're living in some kind of sin, you might be the sweetest husband there ever was when you come to church. But when you walk out that door, you're harder than the devil to get along with. Well, the thing about it is, God wasn't just with you when you was in church. He's with you when you go home.
Amen.
He's with you when you're in your shower. He knows what's going on in your heart. He knows if you're thinking about doing something bad to your wife or loving your wife. And he says, if you don't love your wife, I ain't going to answer your prayers. Amen. And let me tell you, he knows. He knows everything. You can't hide nothing from our King. And so that's why so many people on this earth do not get their prayers answered, because they will not obey God. But listen, he said, he took our sickness and removed our disease. So if he took it and he took our sins, then if he took our sins and he did this, then let's go to 1 Peter 2, 21 through 24, and let's see what he says about sin and sickness one more time. Since this is in the Word, we got to get a hold of this in these last days, because if we don't, many of us are going to die prematurely. We have to obey God and do what he says. 1 Peter 2, 21, this suffering is all part of what God has called you to. Christ, who suffered for you, is your example. Follow in his steps. Okay, so if I were to tell you to follow in Christ's steps, you might not get it. So Peter didn't leave anything for us to misunderstand. He said, and this is what you're supposed to do. He, Jesus, never sinned. So how much are you supposed to sin?
No.
Never. Now, the average Christian, one night I was teaching all these kind of things down in a Bible study at Dallas, and a young man had come with some young girl, and I had never seen him before, and I'm teaching on these things, and I said, you know, God expects you not to sin, ever. And he held up his hand, he said, you tell me you can go through the day without sin? I said, absolutely. That's my goal every day of my life, son. That's my goal. I go through. He said, but you know there's going to be days you're going to sin. I said, well, I ain't going to confess that. I'm not going to confess that. I'm going to believe I can walk through every day holy and obedient to God's word. I said, if I make a mistake, the Holy Spirit will tell me. And when he does, I guarantee I'm going to repent right then. I'm not going to carry it because I don't want to open no door to the devil. And then the young man said, well, I guess the next thing you would, if you say God expects us to never sin, I guess the next thing you would say, he wants me to be perfect, huh? And I said, well, I won't touch that with a 10-foot pole, but I'll let the word speak for itself. I said, open your Bible to Matthew 5:48, and I want you to see what Matthew 5:48 says. And then we'll come back to 1 Peter 2:22. Matthew 5:48. But you are to be, what? What does perfect mean? Even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So he give you the standard of God the Father to live by. Now, is that going to be a pretty good kicker? That's going to put mine and your feet to the fire, isn't it, Ernest? I mean, guaranteed. To walk holy before God, to be perfect like God. Now, I could ask this question, but don't any of you women hold up your hand. None of you. How many of you have ever been married to a man that was perfect? Now, see, I told you not to hold your hand up. Don't you hold it up. Whatever. See. You see where I'm coming from? Now, see? Now then, I would love to be able to ask that question knowing that every woman in this church would say, I'm married to that perfect man. Now, wouldn't that be awesome? Now, if the women in this church could say that, I'm married to the man that in my sight, in God's word, I believe he's perfect. This man loves me with all his heart. He walks with God, and I believe I'm married to a perfect man. Now, if your wife thought that, what do you think us as men could get God to do for us when we prayed? That's exactly right, Ernest. He would do anything for us if we could only get a church that would walk in this holiness before God. There's nothing we couldn't, as a church, we couldn't ask for, and it happened. Now let's go back to 1 Peter 2:22 and 23. He never sinned, and he never deceived anyone. Never. That's our goal. Verse 23 and 24. Okay. He did not retaliate when he was insulted. When he suffered, he did not threaten to get even. Well, now, you know, we read that and we say, okay, God, I won't retaliate. I won't say anything. Ernest offended me, and so, Ernest, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to forgive you. You know? Okay, so I forgive him. So I walk off, and 5 years later, he does something else or says something else, and I said, look, you jerk. You did this 5 years ago. I said, I'm forgiving you then, but I ain't going to forgive you now. Bam. Now, is that the way men are? That ain't God's way, is it, Ernest? Not at all. That's not God's way. You know? I mean, God says if I offend him 490 times in one day, he's supposed to forgive me every time. That takes a real man, doesn't it? Takes a real man. But that takes a man of God. That takes that man that's working to be perfect before God. He did not even threaten to get even. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. Then it says, he personally carried away our sins in his own body. If he personally carried away your sins, then when you got saved, how many sins did you technically carry over? None. That's exactly right. None. I mean, he took them all away. I don't care if you were 10 years old, 5 years old, 90 years old when you got saved. I don't care if you had one sin or 10 million. When you got saved, he took all of them on him. And you were clean. Your house was clean that day. And most of us, that's the only time our house has ever been clean when we got saved. Because 5 minutes after we got saved, we're back in some kind of silly sin. But he personally carried away our sins in his own body on the cross so we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. So since he took away my sin, I can die to sin. And when the enemy or anything else comes to my flesh and say, you know, if somebody gets mad at you, or you look at someone and you say, I hate that person. You know, I have the right to say no. That thought comes to my mind. I don't have to receive that, do I? No, absolutely not. I can walk in love. I don't have to receive that. If he died for my sins and bore them on the cross so that I can walk, be dead to sin, when sin tries to get me, You know, but Thurman, just, you know, there's an extra $100 bill laying right there on the ground, you know. Yeah, you saw Jack drop it right there, but he won't ever know who got it. So I said, okay, devil. I go over and pick up a $100 bill, and I said, Jack, here's your $100 bill. You know, the devil said, that's not what I wanted you to do with that $100 bill. Because when you do that, I ain't got no legal claim to you. And so then Jack's nice. He says, oh, by the way, since you're an honest man and give it to me, here, I'm going to give you a couple of hundred of them just to take care of that, see? Well, that's the way God does things. You know that? But if you don't do it God's way, he will not bless you. You do it God's way, he will bless you. So, and he says, after you do all this, and you're dead to sin so you can live for what is right, then he says that last line, so you have been healed by his wounds. So when you claim that, Lord, I'm walking in obedience to your word. I have got every sin taken care of. I'm walking in total obedience to your word. Now, you told me that by your wounds or by your stripes, I was healed. If I was healed, I am. So, Lord, I ain't going to be sick no more.
Amen.
Somebody said, no, I don't believe I can do that. Well, if that's the way where you are, you can't. God is a faith God, and if you go around confessing, I can't do things, then you will not be able to do them. He is a faith God. And in this little series we're going to be teaching, you're going to see some of the faith requirements that's required to walk where God wants you to walk. Now then, let's go to Psalms 28:3. Now, we saw some awesome promises here, haven't we?
Amen.
I mean, he bore our sins, he bore our sickness, all these things. He took away our sin, he took away our sickness, removed our disease and everything. So why is it, if all these things are true, why is it that we don't walk there? Why did I not walk there so many years of my life? Why was I sick and afflicted so many years of my life until I finally got a hold? Well, one of the problems is sin. One of the problems is sin. Psalms 28:3 says, don't drag me away with the wicked. For those who do evil, with those who do evil, those who speak friendly words to their neighbor while planning evil in their heart. You know how many Christians do that? You know how many Christians I've run into that'll walk right up to you and talk to you right to your face and make out like, oh, I love you, you know, thank you for this or doing that, everything. And then they walk off and they get off and say, you know, that old hussy, you know, she's something else, you know. I don't like her. I'm serious. I've heard Christians do this. Now, see, you fit right in that category. And that's sin, isn't it? I mean, I've seen men in the business world. I mean, I've seen men walk up and the nicest guy you ever seen, he's nice. So this guy shakes hands with him. And as soon as we turn and walk off, he says, you know, yeah. When he knows he's out of earshot, he said, that guy right there, you know, I hate that guy. Passion. Have any of y'all ever seen people do this? See, you meet the criteria, if you're that man or that woman, you meet the criteria of this. And because of that, you can't get your prayer answered. God's not going to answer your prayer if you walk right there. But the Lord's saying, don't drag me away with the wicked. Now, if you're classified as the wicked, God's going to drag you away and you ain't going to like it. When he drags you away, if you speak friendly words to your neighbor but planting evil in your heart, he considers you wicked and he's going to drag you away and something serious is going to happen to you. And you will not like it. Now, Psalms 31:10. Psalms 31:10. I am dying from grief. My years are shortened by sadness. I mean, people, they don't believe these things. I mean, I see people been grieving for years. They lost a spouse or a husband or a wife or a child. And they're grieving for years, or they're saddened. And they walk around, I'm so sad all the time. Well, God says here, I am dying from grief. Get over it. You know, you ain't supposed to grieve, but 30 days max. When you lose somebody, after 30 days, put your happy face on and press on.
Amen.
Don't grieve, you know. I'm dying from grief. My years are shortened by sadness. Oh, I'm so sad that I lost my wife and my daughter. Oh, I've been worrying about that all these years. No, forget it. I mean, no, I ain't going to go there. I don't want to shorten my life. My wife and daughter's in heaven with God. Amen. They wouldn't come back to this place if I tried. If I was there trying to raise them from the dead, I can up there see my wife and daughter both right now saying, Daddy, husband, don't bring us back down to that stupid earth. I don't want to be back down there no more. Look at these diamonds that the Lord gave me. Ooh, you gave me a little tiny diamond when you married me. You bought me a few other little bitty. But look at this one Jesus gave me. Oh, look at this rock. You know how girls are, right? They love diamonds. They wouldn't come back to this place if they could. You know, I mean, they just wouldn't do it. You know, so why am I supposed to grieve? They ain't grieving. They're up there having a ball with Jesus. So I'm not dying from grief. My years are not shortened by sadness. I'm praising God that my wife and daughter went to heaven. And I know one day Cheryl and I are going to go there too. You know, we're all going to be in this place. But it says, misery has drained my strength. I mean, get over it. The church, it's time we get over all these things. Walk holy and obedient to the word. I am wasting away from within. You see people that are 50 years old that look like they're 90 years old. And then the other day, I was talking to a man over here. He said, I went to a Bible study in Fort Worth the other day, and the man that taught it was, 98 years old. He said, this guy was a ball of fire. Said he teaches two Bible studies a month in Fort Worth, and said, man, he's like a young man, gets around. I thought, wow. That's like that man that sat right here in that chair right here a couple of healing schools back. His 90th birthday that day, and he said until he was 88 years old, he never had a sick day. And he, in fact, he told us then, he said, I'm going to Europe for 3 weeks or something like that. And when we got back from Europe, he'd come back to another healing school. Man, he'd walked all over Europe. He had a ball. He was 90. And no sickness and disease. Praise God. I told him, I said, how did you do that? And he got up in front of this church and said, this is what I say over my body every day. And wow, I couldn't even repeat all the things he had to say, but they were all good. And when he commanded his body to be well. But now then, let's go to Psalms 32:2. Let's see what that says. 32:2. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. Now then, if he's cleared your record of sin, you're in good shape. Whose lives are lived in complete honesty. Now then, if you have come to the Lord and ask Him to forgive you of all your sins and you're walking totally in honest place with God, He says you're going to be blessed. But what if you're not doing that? What if you're not walking honest? You're going to be cursed. Sometimes we fail to see the flip side of this, but there is a flip side of this. And then in Psalm 66:18, let's see this one. We've got a couple more scriptures. We'll quit today. 66:18, if I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened to me. But, you know, I just got a little bitty sin over here. You know, I just don't like this particular person. They did something to me years ago, and I don't want nothing to do with them. Is God going to answer your prayer? No. You hold a grudge against somebody? You know? Is God going to answer your prayer? No. In other words, how are you going to get Him to open His ears? Lord, I want to confess that sin to you. Oh, He said, I'm going to take my finger out. What did I hear down there? You want to confess that sin? Oh, now I got my fingers out of my ears. Okay, what do you say now? Lord, I want to confess that sin. He said, now we're getting somewhere. You going to walk in love? In fact, I'll tell you, Dave, when this morning, I drove my car over to the airport. Last night we come at midnight. Of course, I can't land out here at night because I don't have any lights. And so I landed at Northwest over here last night at 1 o'clock this morning. And we drove home. And so this morning I got up early and went back over there and got the airplane, flew it over here. And then later, after Dave got up, he said, can I take you back over there and get your car? I said, sure, no problem. So me and him and a couple of the kids, you know, we jump into his truck and we go over to get my car. And when I get in the car, he pulls off, and I see him going up the road, and then I lose him somewhere. I don't know where he went, and I get home, and he's not back yet. And I said, Ayesha, I said, did Dave not back yet? She said, no. I said, well, he was in front of me. I said, oh, I know what probably happened. knowing Dave. He probably found somebody sitting on the side of the road somewhere, and he's over doing deeds of loving kindness to his neighbor. Now see, Dave can't pass somebody on the road. I don't care who you are, man, woman, boy, or girl, I don't care who you are. If he sees somebody on the road, I don't care how big a hurry he's in, where he's going, he's going to stop and see if you need help.
Amen.
He's learned when God says, I love it when you do deeds of loving kindness. This is loving your neighbor.
Amen.
And he does that. Now, why do you think God honored his prayer yesterday when he said, Lord, we want a beautiful, clear night to fly home tonight, and there wasn't a cloud within 200 miles. Why did God honor that prayer? Because he's an obedient. That's right, Ernest. Now, is that available only to Dave? It's available to all of us, isn't it? Now then, but God says there, if I had not confessed my sin, he would not have heard me. Is that what he said? Jeremiah 30, verse 14 and 15. And then we're going to quit today. Jeremiah 30, verses 14 and 15. All your allies have left you and do not care about you anymore. I have wounded you cruelly as though I were your enemy. For your sins are many, and your guilt is great. Why do you protect your punishment? This wound that has no cure, I have had to punish you because your sins are many, and your guilt is great. Now that's a scary verse, you know that?
Talking about an entire nation.
Yeah. But he could be talking about an individual, too. But let's read that in the King James. I want to read that to you in the King James. I want to show you something here in the King James. In the King James, it says, all your lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not, for I have wounded you with the wound of an enemy. Wait a minute. He's wounded you with the wound of an enemy. Then let's see who that enemy is. With the chastisement of a cruel one. Who do you think that is? God sent the devil, the cruel one, to chasten you. And he says, all your lovers have forgotten you. They seek you not, for I have wounded you with the wound of an enemy. Who's I?
God.
For I, God, have wounded you with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one. That's the devil himself. I can only see when God comes up and says, devil, Thurman ain't been a good boy the last 2 or 3 weeks. I've tried to get through to him, but he ain't listening. Go get him. There's everything in the world I want to hear, but that's not one of them I want to hear. Do you? When the devil says, oh, you want me to get Thurman? Gladly. And boy, you are no threat to the devil. I mean, if God says, I'm going to wound you with a cruel one, he says, I have wounded you with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of your iniquity or your sins. In other words, isn't it wonderful there to see that the first time you made a little mistake, God didn't send this guy? He said you have a multitude of them, right? Now, how many is a multitude? Maybe 3 or 4. Maybe 30 or 40. But I don't know where. He didn't tell me. He didn't give me a dividing line there. So I ain't going to take him up and say, well, maybe it's 30, so I'm only going to do 29. I don't want to go there. But he says, I have wounded you with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of your iniquities, because your sins were increased. Now, there's a whole lot of people that live right there in the church. He says, why cry you therefore thine afflictions? Your sorrow is incurable. Do you know people in the church that have been afflicted with an incurable disease? Yeah. Does the New Testament talk about a sin unto death? It sure does. I mean, this is not new. God hadn't changed his plans. He says, your sorrow is incurable for the multitude of your iniquity. The multitude of them. Because your sins were increased, I have done these things unto you. Why does God do this devastating thing? Why does he send this devil to us? Because of our sin. Now, as a church, if we repent of our sins and walk holy before God, you won't never have to worry about this scripture taking place in your life. God will never chasten a person that doesn't need it. You know, if you don't sin somewhere, you know, how would you like for God to treat you? Would you like for him to walk up to you and pat you on the back and say, well done, son.
Amen.
You've done a good job for me down there. Is that what you want to hear?
Amen.
That's what I want to hear. Well, I've learned I can't live in sin and walk there. I can't live in sin and get my prayers answered. And whenever we pray for a lady, like this lady that we prayed for here at this ministry, that this lady just gave her testimony about the lady that her blood was messed up when we prayed for her and she went back home and had it checked. It's perfect. Now, that's what we love. We love being able to get through to our King like that. And you love it and your friend loves it, right? Yes. Now then, how many of us in the church should be walking right there? Every one of us. Every one of us in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, should be that special messenger that can intercede for another person and get that person set free from their sin and their sickness. Now, at this ministry, we are learning how to do that. I mean, we have so many people on our prayer team here that pray for people, and God shows up at this ministry, and he heals people all the time. He does it all the time, and we are grateful. I mean, I am ever grateful that whether I answer the phone, Cheryl answers the phone, Pat answers the phone,
Amen.
Sharon answers the phone, Rosemary answers the phone, even Esther answers the phone out here. Sometimes she comes out here every once in a while, you know. And Eldon and Nancy answer the phones. Before, people call people from home. We do all kinds of things. Ida answers the phone out here. We got all kinds of people out here, that men and women of God, that answer the telephone. And when we talk to them about sin and people get their sins repented of, God hears, he forgives their sins, and then he heals their diseases. And Dave's told me many times, said, Pastor, once I came out here and I learned God's rules, he said, it makes life fun. You know, it is fun because you don't have to be sick and afflicted no more. You know, of course, nobody knows that better than Dave, you know, because he'd been sick and afflicted for 40 years with an incurable disease, and he found out with God it was curable. All he had to do is get rid of his sin. And so now he's really trying to walk holy in obedience to God's word because he likes being well. You know, I wasn't sick 40 years before I got healed. So praise God, I don't know, and I don't want to go there. I don't want to have 40 years of sickness before I can get healed. I love walking in divine health, and I think that's what God wanted the church to do from day one. But most of us don't know this. But if we'll obey him and do what he says and walk in faith, he will be pleased with us. But, like I say, the reason I'm teaching this series on faith and holiness and how to walk there is because I believe with all my heart something devastating is going to happen to this country. And I just don't know how bad it's going to be, but I can assure you. And, of course, that was reinforced this morning when Kim told me about those two prophets on CBN that talked about what God was going to do to Australia if they passed that law. Do you know that in Proverbs 6:16, in fact, Dave can put that up for you right quick. I want to show you there's seven things that God hates, and you might need to see these every once in a while to realize what is sin, but there's seven things that God hates. He first says there in Proverbs 6:16, these six things does the Lord hate. Yeah, there's seven of these things that are an abomination unto him. If there's seven things that's an abomination to God, you better make sure you don't do none of these things. If you want God to answer your prayer, you're going to have to meet his criteria. First of all, a proud look. A proud look. You know, a look. You can do all kinds of things with a look. You know it? Yeah. A proud look. He says a proud. Then he says a lying tongue. Ooh, he hates a lying tongue. Well, how about How about just a little bitty white lie once in a while? How about a little bitty black lie once in a while? How about a little bitty green lie once in a while? How about no lies? Do you think that would make God happy? He said, I hate a lying tongue. And then he says, hands that shed innocent blood. Did he say, I hate a proud look? Did he say, I hate a lying tongue? He says, I hate those that shed innocent blood. Well, that's three of them. Let's see what the other four are. A heart that devises wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift to running to mischief. A false witness that speaks lies. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. Those are seven things God says he hates. Maybe once in a while you need to go to Proverbs 6 and start with verse 16 and read that every once in a while so it'll kind of keep it fresh in your brain. Because there's things right there that people in the church do every day. And if God says he hates it, he is a merciful and long-suffering and patient God. But I'm going to tell you the day's coming when his patience runs out. And you're going to be judged. He's going to judge you. He will do it. And why do you think we have so many sick people in the church? Because of sin. I mean, he clearly says in the Word, with no sin, there ain't no sickness. In fact, I was asked that question yesterday, or dinner last night. How do people respond to you when you say that all sickness is caused by sin? I said, well, some of them receive it and some of them throw me out. I said, that's okay. All I'm doing is telling what God Amen. Says. You know, when you look at this one verse, and I keep saying I'm going to quit on this verse, but let's go to Exodus 15:26. Exodus 15:26, and I want you to read this verse in Exodus 15:26. And I want you to see what the Lord says in Exodus 15:26. And he said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandment and keep all his statutes, then I, God, will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. So if you keep all, if you diligently, now what if you go to church every Sunday? Is that diligence? No. That helps, but that ain't diligence. What if you go to church every Sunday and you tithe? That's a help. Some people say, I don't believe in tithing. Okay, you can go ahead and be sick if you want to. That's okay. You know, I can show you many places. I say, Thurman, that's in the Old Testament. I remember one time God sent me to a home of a couple that were doing extremely good financially. And he sent me over there to tell them they need to start tithing. So I went over there and I said, you know, are you two tithing? No, Thurman, it's obvious you haven't read the New Testament. I said, what do you mean? She said, the New Testament doesn't teach we have to tithe. I said, do you think Matthew and Luke is in the New Testament? Well, yeah. I said, well, Matthew 23:23 clearly says we're supposed to tithe. Well, no, but that's not what he means. The church we go to, they say you don't have to tithe. I said, what church do y'all go to now? She said, we go to the Church of Christ. I said, well, I thought the Church of Christ taught you had to tithe. No, ours don't. Ours says you don't have to tithe. I said, well, I don't care what your preacher said. I'm just going to tell you what the Word says. And I said, I'm telling you, I'm here today to tell you that you two need to start tithing. No, well, we're not going to do that. I mean, they were doing extremely good. They had, I don't know, several pieces of equipment, had several people helping them, working for them. I mean, they'd already bought an airplane. They were just financially blessed. I went over and told him. I said, you got to tithe. God sent me over here to tell you, you got to tithe. He said, no, we don't believe that. That church don't teach that. About 4 months later, their entire empire fell apart. They lost every crew, everything, airplane, and everything, and went flat broke. Now, can God do that to you? Why did you think he sent me over there? See, he wanted to bless them. He'd been blessing them, but he knew there was not tithing. Does God tell you to tithe? Absolutely. Do you have to tithe? No, you don't have to. You can be cursed if you want to. You know, the only place in God's Word where he says, I will curse you with a curse. Everywhere else he says, if you sin, I'll curse you. But if you don't tithe, I'll curse you with a curse. That's in Malachi chapter 3, just in case you don't know where it's found. Somebody said that's in the Old Testament. Well, you could go to Matthew 23:23. Right here it said in Exodus 15:26 that if you obey him, he'll put no sickness upon you. He said if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord and will do that which is right in God's sight and will give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes, then he'll take all sickness. Well, let's see what one of them is there in Matthew 23:23. Let's go to Matthew 23:20. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! That can't be Jesus talking, can it? I thought he's such a loving, sweet God. For you pay tithe of mint and of anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, which are judgment, mercy, and faith. Now the church that I've been associated with most of my life has really fell down on this faith business. That's what we're talking about. These ought you have done, which is all these other things here, judgment, mercy, and faith, these, and have not to leave the other undone. In other words, you're supposed to do everything in that verse, right? Is that the way you read that? Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you pay tithe of your mint and your... In other words, everything you have, you pay tithes on it. But you have omitted the weightier matters of the law, which are judgment, mercy, and faith. Now, these ought you have done, which is to tithe, and not to omit these other things. So how many of those things in that verse are we supposed to be doing? All of them. All of them. Somebody said, I don't have to tithe. No, that's right. You don't have to. You can be broke and you can be in poverty if you want to. You know, you do not have to be blessed. You don't have to be well. You can disobey God and be sick. Can't you, Esther? She did that one time, didn't you? The reason I pointed her out there. You know, I mean, you would never imagine that this sweet young lady could ever get an unforgiveness toward such a sweet young man. But a few years ago, he wasn't such a sweet young man. See, he's learned a lot. He used to be nearly as dumb as I was when I was younger. No, he wasn't as dumb as I was, but he was nearly. We were both dumb. But because of the things that he did, she got an unforgiveness. And she got a tumor in her stomach for 15 years. And when they started coming to this ministry, they brought their granddaughter, which had a breast cancer, and we found her sin, and when we prayed for her, God healed that granddaughter.
Amen.
And then Esther says, you know, this God, I serve the same God my granddaughter does. Now, I've had this tumor for 15 years. So she come to me and said, Pastor, you know, I want to get healed too. I've had this tumor for 15 years. And I said, well, we got a sin here. We got to get rid of it. I said, do you have an unforgiveness toward anybody? And she kind of looked over. And I said, him? She said, yes, he hasn't always been a good husband. She said, when he was younger, he was a little heathen, you know. And so he's just a normal young man, kind of like the rest of us was. But now he's a good guy, you know, he's a lovely guy. But she had never forgiven him. She had never forgiven him for that little thing all them years ago. And so once she acknowledged that and forgave her husband, and then we prayed for her, amen, and within a matter of days, a tumor had been in her stomach for 15 years, was gone. Is that a true story?
Amen.
Now, God, he's no respecter of persons, is he? See, now then, Ernest is a whole lot better husband today than he was 20 years ago, see? Now, she'll acknowledge it, but I hope I'm a better husband today than I was 20 years ago, too, you know? Because God, we're learning what God tells us to do, right? But we learn right there that he's no respecter of persons. You know, when he does something wrong, but you got the grudge, you're the one got sick. And that ain't right. Not in my side. Not in the natural. But God's the one did it, wasn't he? And when Esther repented and forgave her lovely husband, and now they're back in that love walk again, trying every day to walk in that love walk and stay there, she ain't never been sick no more. The tumor's gone. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. But see, God, he means what he says, doesn't he? I mean, you know, it's wonderful when we have these kind of stories to go back on. You know, there's so many, you know, in here that we could pick out that, you know, that have had a certain sin, that have had a sickness or a disease, have been sick for years, you know. And my own wife had one. Sharon had several, you know. I mean, and what caused it? It was sin. And when they all repented of sin, we prayed for them. Guess what God did? Exactly what he said. You confess your sin, and then I will heal you. And He's done that for all of us. We are so grateful, Lord, that You are the King of Kings, that we're learning Your rules. Lord, we're reading the rule book, and we're trying our best to walk in obedience to Your rules. Now, Lord, again, one more time, I want to reemphasize how we want You to move on the hearts of the men and women in our government office, from the lowest one here local to the top one at the top. Lord, we know there's sin and corruption in every government organization, even down to the local people in the local city. There's corruption and everywhere, so we ask You to move on people's hearts, change them and touch them so we can live in peace once again in this nation. We ask You to bring all these people into Your kingdom and save them, Lord, and fill them with the Holy Ghost and power so we'll have a nation once again that's based upon the Lord Jesus Christ and not anything but Jesus. Lord, we want all these people that come here that brings a foreign God in to either get saved, or we want them to leave our country and go back where they come from. Lord, I praise You and thank You for saving them, because I want them saved, and I know You do too. So, Lord, send us wherever, each one of us in this room, out there to talk to somebody this week that don't know You. Lord, let us share Jesus with these people and give us the knowledge and the wisdom and the revelation and the understanding we need, that we'll be able to do it in such a way that we'll get through to them, and so they will come to know You as Lord and Savior. Now, Lord, as we pray for people here, I ask You to meet every need today, whatever that need is. And, Lord, I thank You that You're continuing to teach us about faith and how to walk in it, because I know we're going to need to know how to walk in complete divine faith in the very near future. Lord, I thank You for blessing Your people watching over us. You say those that walk holy and upright before You, we will never go without food. And Lord, I thank You and praise You for all the things You're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.